You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. You already sent it. You dispatched it already from heaven, and it's on its way. Now, Lord God, this morning, May we have ears to hear what you want to say to us. As a church, collectively, but also individually, as parents, as teenagers, whatever our position is, but as children of the Most High God, may we have ears to hear what you want to say to us this morning. And Lord God, help me deliver the message adequately, totally, and with clarity in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 I want us to go to Psalms 11 and verse 3. Psalms 11 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 11, verse 3. This is a verse that ends with a question mark. It's a question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe that we live in a time where the very foundations of our society, in the political world, in the economic world, in every sense of the word, we are in a shaking situation right now. And believe me, it's not restricted to America. Every place I go, there is a resettling of things. There's things going on. Most of the people, even in leadership positions, can't quite understand what's going on. It's beyond control. It's beyond, you know, where you can correct it. You know, the governments and banks and the stock market have always had ways to inject certain things, make certain decisions to correct whatever is going on, and then, you know, bring it. But listen, I don't know what the stimulus is, but it's close to $1 trillion. Now, maybe in Texas you haven't felt it, but let me tell you, all over the world people are feeling it. Amen? So we're in a shake, and right now the foundations are not just being shifting, but they're being destroyed. The world as we know it. Listen, America, I know Texas is not really part of America, but... but America as we know it, as I'm speaking right now, America is changing. It is changing. Now, in Jesus' name, there's going to be a delay of game that's going to be called. I believe that. I believe that the next elections we're going to see a parenthesis being opened, but it's only a parenthesis. My wife and I, we lived in Europe for 23 years. That's where we were born and raised. We saw how these things happen. We've seen this movie already. All right? We got the ticket stub. We've seen it already. We know how this works. And we see exactly the same thing happening in this nation, except it's happening a whole lot faster. But it's happening. But that is the world. I said, that is the world. We have to be very careful that we don't somehow get engulfed in all of this stuff and get like panicked, like, oh my God, Mildred, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do what we've always done. That's trust God. Yeah. Amen. He doesn't change. So, you know, we just continue to trust Him. In fact, we need to start trusting Him more now. Yes. Amen? Maybe we never trusted Him before, or we thought we did. Can I tell you a little secret? Yes. See, a lot of people know stuff from the Bible. They know verses. They may even have a revelation of those verses. But then just because they know them, that doesn't mean that they do them. See, you may know all the faith verses in the Bible. That doesn't mean you do them. Hello. All right. Well, this may be the time for us to do it. So the question is, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, first thing we need to do is prepare. See, when it's wartime, I was speaking about this to start with. When you're at war, you start doing things different. You have a different attitude. You look at things in a different way. You pay attention to certain details that before just didn't matter. You know, you look, you know, you're aware. And that's where we're at right now. We need to be aware and begin to prepare for what is coming. Now, everything that is coming to us is good. See, I read at the end of the book. I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I catch myself, if I'm really in a hurry, I look at the end of the book to see how it ends. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but this one for sure, I read the end and we win. So I like to know how this ends. But we need to prepare so that we end up right. Amen. 1 Kings 17:2. 1 Kings 17:2. This is talking about Elijah. And God is telling him in verse 3. Now there's no rain coming down. There's a famine. There's a calamity coming. So God tells him, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And so he did. He went according to the word of the Lord. Now, sometimes we lose track of what the significance of this command was to Elijah. He wasn't just sent there. Why would God send him to Cherith, to this brook? Why not someplace else? What was so particular about Cherith? Have you ever wondered? I mean, couldn't God send the ravens anywhere? Couldn't he find another brook that he would keep from going dry? That was not a problem. Why Cherith? Do you know what Cherith means in Hebrew? Your pastor, I'm sure, knows. He's a scholar. But Cherith means, in Hebrew, means like a cutting or like a separation. In fact, you get the word, in Hebrew, the word divorce. From this word, Cherith. It's like a separation, but also a preparation. Elijah was sent to this particular place to prepare for what was coming. See, Elijah did not know what was coming down the pike. You know, he just had proclaimed that there would not be any rain for 3.5 years. And to him, I'm sure in his mind, that's it. Now I'm going to ride this out. He did not know. He had no instruction as to what was going to happen. Not just like us. Do you know what's going to happen? Huh? 11 inches of snow in Dallas, Texas? Hello, global warming. I mean, there's things that happen that are beyond our control. We don't know what's going to happen. Amen? But see, we know somebody that does know. Amen. So when he gets us to a certain place or puts us in a certain environment, It's always for a purpose. Amen? I'm talking when it's God. We heard about that this morning. Don't tell, you know, if you disobeyed God and you're in a spot, don't blame God for putting you there.
That's right.
Yeah. All right? Hello?
Amen.
You know, if you married the wrong person because, wow, anyway, for whatever reason, you know, and you never ask God, don't blame God for the mess that you're in, okay? All right? Blame yourself, blame the devil, but don't blame God, all right? But when God sent him to Cherith, and it was a preparation, and it was a separation, and I believe that's what God calls the church to be in. Now, this is while the largest churches in the world today are going exactly in the opposite direction. I believe God is doing a calling out and is sounding the trumpet so that we would be separate from the world. I'm not talking about being taken out of the world or starting a commune someplace. You know, put barbed wire around it and get some machine guns to keep the bad guys out. I'm not talking about this. But I'm talking about being separate from the world system. Amen. Well, you know, there's a whole movement right now that's trying to go the opposite way. It's trying to be so lovey-dovey with the world. Let's make sure we... You know, we don't stand out. Let's make sure we are just, you know, like them. They better not think that we are different from them. Let's sip a little bit with them. Let's smoke something with them. Let's do this and do that so that they don't think we're weird. See, there has to be a separation. See, God is so simple. In his choices, he wants to know that we are his children. He doesn't want to think, well, is this one of mine? Or, boy, I really don't know. Hello?
Yeah.
See, Christian means, it's not somebody that speaks Christianese. Christian is somebody that actually walks, talks and acts like Christ. Not caring about being politically correct or not offending anybody. I mean, listen, some people today, they wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes with Jesus. I mean, those people that got easily offended, I mean, they were gone just like that. Amen? It's almost like Jesus went out of his way to offend people. I mean, his own disciples. He tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. Those are not welcoming words. That's not how you gather a crowd of people. Amen. 1 Kings 18:21. 1 Kings 18:21. Now, this is where... We see why Elijah had to go through this preparation. I call it the showdown at the Mount Carmel Corral. 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." Now, see, Elijah had to first be separate in his heart, in his thoughts. He had to be separate unto God first before he could make this kind of statement. Before he could ask those people to make a decision, he had to have made that decision prior to that. Amen? See, that's what Cherith was all about. So he's asking them, He says, hey, I'm going to make it easy for you. There's two choices. Count them. One, two. If the Lord is God, follow Him. And he already decided that's what he was going to do, right? Listen, he's got 850 adversaries right there. 400 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Ashtoreth. He's got the king. He's got the king of Israel against him. Listen, it's just him against all of these people. But Elijah already knows that if God is for him, who can be against him? Amen. See, that time of separation paid off now. Is he glad he had that time of separation? Just like Jesus, remember? Listen, after God proclaims that Jesus is the Son in whom He's well pleased, you would think that would be a good time for Him to immediately start His ministry. The Holy Spirit leads him of all places to a wilderness, to a space, to a time and a place of separation and preparation. And he spends 40 days and 40 nights there before he starts the ministry. See, God knows, you know, what we need before we meet the challenge. How long will you falter between two opinions? Now, in the French Bible, I like the illustrations they give. How long will you stand on one foot and then the other foot? You know, it's like make up your mind. You cannot have it both ways. You know, you try separate chairs. You know, and put about 24 inches between two chairs, and you try to sit between those two chairs. See how long you last. Huh? See, it's impossible. You know, that's what he's trying to get across. Make up your mind. You cannot worship Baal or follow Baal and follow God at the same time. Now, this is very interesting. Verse 21 at the end, it says, but the people answered him not a word. Listen, this was a simple question that required a simple answer. Why wouldn't they answer? Have you ever wondered about that? I wonder about stuff like that. Why didn't they just answer? Well, the reason was they did not know who was going to win in the end. I mean, after all, there was a king. Jezebel didn't happen to be there, but she was somewhere around. 850 people that were with either Baal or Ashtoreth. And here's this lonely prophet. In fact, he says he's the only one. I'm the only one left as a prophet of the Lord. Well, that's not a good situation. So the people don't say anything. We're not going to commit. Hello? Well, we don't want to offend anybody here. So we're going to wait and see how this turns out. Wow. You talk about non-committal. See, there will be a day where God is going to do a separation. Matthew 25, remember? Jesus says, the kingdom will be a separation, a divine separation. The goats on one side and the sheep on the other side. Now, you know, they both have four legs, sheep and goats. But, you know, it was not a good thing to end up on the goat side. I want to know I'm on the sheep side. Amen. See, I want to know now. I don't want to find out when we called out, okay, You come to the left, you come to the right. I don't want to find out then. I want to know now. Amen, don't you? Amen. How about the virgins? There's 10 virgins, right? Five are wise, 5 are foolish. But they're all virgins. They're all waiting for the return of the bridegroom. Yes or no? I mean, they all have lamps. They all have the same, you know, the same motivation. But yet, there's a separation that takes place. But I want to do the separation now before the separation is made for me. Amen? Romans 12:1. Now, you all know this verse. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And now verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the world. Yeah, you know what that means? That means not imitating the world. Listen, I don't care what the peer pressure is. You know, today in schools, I have some grandchildren. I even have a great... Now, I got you beat on that one. I have one great grandchild. All right, put that in the, in the, whatever it is. But those kids go through incredible pressured situations. I mean, in the way that they have to dress, the way that they have to, you know, talk, the way that they have to accept certain things. I mean, it's not just from their friends. I'm talking about the teachers now. You know, they are made to conform to a certain, you know, mindset, a certain way of doing things. And if you're outside of that box, you're like, whoa, what's wrong with you? I hope we don't catch this. And they're being marginalized. Yeah. Amen? But see, we are not to be conformed to the world. That means that we don't submit to the world. Now, it's not just peer pressure. It's all, like the economic world. Now, how many of you have to work for a living? You're not retired and you have to work for a living. Now, in a way, you have to work with, you know, the existing environment, right? But you don't have to be submitted to it. Right. Right. I had a really interesting question from a gentleman in China. We had like sessions, and then we had questions and answers. And this one, I wasn't prepared for it. He asked, as a Christian, should I stay with the member of the Communist Party? I want to say, I don't think I want to touch that one. I mean, this is risky business. So I just said, well, I mean, God brought to my memory what Jesus answered when they put him on a spot. And they asked him, well, is it right to pay tribute to Caesar? Right. And I said, you know, I think you already have your answer. Yeah. But if the Communist Party would object to you being here today, right, and doing what you're doing here today, I believe you already have your answer. But it's not about being in a political party or being in a government or anything like that. But see, we are more and more challenged to be conformed to a certain ideology, to a certain way of thinking. And in the economy today, if you abide by what's going on today, man, I'll tell you, you'll catch gray hairs faster than Pastor Mike Williams. Wow. Yeah, you almost caught up with him.
I'll be up there in a minute.
Payback. But you know, we don't have to abide by this. This verse, this is not just a verse. This is the truth.
Yes.
See, there's the reality of what we live in, you know, the environment that we have to put up with. And I don't even think that we should put up with it. You know, like, oh man, soon this will be over. I believe that is wrong. Right. We have to have an attitude of victory.
Yes.
We win. We are, in fact, God counts on us to effect change.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Bring the kingdom of God, you know, into play. You know, not hide it someplace. Like Jesus said, you don't put the kingdom, you know, your light under a bushel someplace and be incognito. Woo! Let's make sure nobody knows. I actually had a guy come in one time. He was in a church. I was preaching, but they had testimonies. This guy came on the platform and he said, I thank God that I never shared the fact that I was a Christian at my place of work.
Wow.
Wow. I want to say, what? Get the microphone away from this guy. Wow. He said, yeah, because there were major layoffs at my work, and if they had known I was a Christian, I would have lost my job. Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. But see, we are not to be conformed. We're not subjected to this.
Yep.
I don't care what the dollar does against the euro or the yen. I think God is really worried right now. Like, what am I going to do? Well, he doesn't worry about it. He looks at the streets of gold. He says, I think we're okay. Amen. See, he does not change. And he's the one that supplies all of our needs. Not according to the stock market, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. See, but we need to know which side we are. We can't play both sides of the fence. We can't serve mammon all week and then try to serve God on Sunday morning. It ain't going to work anymore. Listen, Sunday morning Christianity is over. It is officially over. In fact, it was over. It never began. There is no such thing. Being a Christian is a 24/7, 365 days a year proposition. Amen? When we walk out of here, we're still Christians, right? We don't turn on this little switch. Mildred, it's church time, so you better behave. No, we Christians all the time, whether somebody's watching, whether the pastor knows about it, we Christians. We be Christians. Tell the person next to you, I'll be a Christian. Man, you guys know how to say that, being that you're from East Texas. Woo. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We need to beware. There's, you know, every day, every moment of every day, we're confronted with these choices. You know, just like Elijah tells them, you know, you choose who you're going to serve, but every day, every decision we make, that same choice, you know, becomes obvious, and we need to make the right choice. Amen? Not subjecting ourselves to the world. Now, I like the Chinese Christians because they don't have that option. I mean, that option has been removed. I don't know if that's what it's going to take for us. But see, I look at societies like in Europe, like in France in particular, even among Christians, people have become so dependent on the world system, on, you know, government programs, that they cannot even imagine living without those programs. I remember, I don't know if I told you this, but one time we were having a prayer line for healing. And one of the people that came down, there must have been like 30 or 40 people, and prayed for a few. This lady comes down, and God has me ask this question before I prayed for a healing. I said, sister, do you want to be healed? And in my mind, I go like, duh, you dummy. She's coming to be prayed for healing. It was a pretty simple altar call. She's coming down for healing. So I obeyed. I said, do you want to be healed? And she said, well, I'm not sure. I almost fell backward. I like, what? I wanted to say, why are you wasting my time? She said, well, if I get healed, then that's the end of my pension. Because what I have is work-related, and if I do get healed, then I have to say goodbye to my pension. I said, I can't pray for you. You need to make up your mind. I mean, what you going to do? And, you know, it took her a little bit, and she said, well, I want to get healed. I want to get healed, you know, and just like, who cares about the pension? She did get healed. And within 2 weeks, it didn't happen the next day. I would have liked for this to happen right away. But 2 weeks later, she got another job that paid almost twice as much as the one that she had before. And she did not want or need that pension anymore, praise God. But she had to make a choice. You can't have it both ways. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6:17. This is where it talks about being separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. We belong to God. Hello? We're not even our own. We've been bought with a price. Hello? Have you checked your price tag lately? This is not an innocent question. You know, a lot of our valuation system is based on the world, and the world's appreciation of you know, human beings. What kind of a college degree do you have? How much money do you have in a bank? What is your position in society? All these things are good and well, but those are not measuring sticks according to the Word of God. So we have to begin to see ourselves as God sees us. You know that how much value you have? Do you know? Have you ever seen the Mona Lisa? Josette makes me crack. I mean, one time we went to the Louvre. I've been there many times since, but the Mona Lisa is not a huge painting. You know, it's not like the raft of the Medusa, you know, that they have at the Louvre as well, which covers, you know, pretty much a 12 by 30 wall. You know, I mean, it's a small painting. So I took Josette there, and she looked at it, and you know, I could see something wasn't right. I said, what's the matter? Don't you like it? She said, no. I said, what's the matter with it? She said, it's so small. I didn't see what that had to, you know, if that had anything to do with it. And she said, oh, I thought it was going to be a big painting. I said, listen, they don't value it according to the square footage. You know, how much canvas there is. You know, but she valued it based on the size of the painting, you know. I mean, the frame is about this big so that, you know, it makes it look bigger. But how much are we worth? You know, the Mona Lisa, they don't even put a price on it. It's beyond valuation. But let me tell you, we are worth much more than that. How can anybody put a price on one drop of the blood of Jesus? That's how much we're worth. So we need to tell the devil where to get off. Telling us that we're worthless, good for nothing, that we'll never amount to anything. We need to tell, hey, listen, I wrote the book. I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a great price. I belong to Jesus. Amen. But we need to be separate. Verse 6:17, right? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You know, that's the very definition of the church. It's a called out, a separate assembly that's called out from out of the world and to be a holy nation. Amen? To be the kingdom of God on earth. There has to be a distinction. Come with me to Exodus. Oh, I love this one. Exodus 8 and verse 22. I believe that this is exactly where we are today as far as the New Testament. This was Old Testament, but I believe this is what God is wanting to do in this hour before he raptures the church. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 8:22. In that day, say in that day. So I believe that day is very soon. In that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. Now who would that be? That would be us. Where my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Now get this. Hey, have you ever tried to tell flies not to go beyond a certain point in your kitchen? You can go anywhere you want, but where this cake is that I just baked, you will not land on this cake. Yeah, good luck. But yet, God had swarms of flies covering everything in the land of Egypt. I mean, you talk about a crisis. It touched everybody and everything. It wasn't isolated. It wasn't localized. It was everywhere in the world. See, Egypt is the world. It's a symbol of the world. It affected everything in life. It was covered with flies. But yet, where God's children were, it was still in Egypt, but it was separated. Just like we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are separate. But the separation has to start in our heart. We can't just say we're separate. We have to be separate. Amen. And then there's a protection. The flies, the crisis, the recessions, the unemployments, the bankruptcies, the foreclosures, the sickness, the disease, the depression, the fear. None of these things will come near our dwelling. Because we are a holy nation. We are separate. We're not abiding by the rules of this world. Amen. So there has to be a distinction. Say distinction. Starts with a distinction and then follows a blessing. Just going to read a few of them. In Deuteronomy. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Well, that's good. Wherever you go, you're blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, and your refrigerator, and your freezer. Blessed will be your pantry, you know, in your basement. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's blessing. There's a distinction first. See, the blessing does not come until there's a distinction. See, if somebody is part of Egypt, they're going to get the flies. The blessings come when we separate. When there's a distinction. We are Christians. We don't act like the world. You're looking at me like, what is he talking about? Things aren't that bad. Listen how bad they are. I actually heard that there's more divorces among Christians than non-Christians. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. Amen. See, we need to wake up and smell the burning cappuccino and realize and not be like Laodicea that said, oh, we're okay. We're all right. We'll make it. No, I don't want to find out that I'm not going to make it. I want to know that I'm making it. Amen. I want to be separate now. I want to be a sheep now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Joshua 24. Now, I love this verse. This is great. This man, is a servant of the Most High God. He's got now the responsibility. Moses is dead, and he has this job now to take these rebellious, stiff-necked people they've been gone from Egypt a long time, but Egypt is still in their heart. I mean, they're still, contemplating the possibility of going back there with the leeks and whatever else they had in Egypt. I mean, they're still like reminiscing about, oh, man, maybe we're missing something here. I'm a Christian now, but boy, my friends seem to have a lot of fun. Well, listen, I was in the world. So were you, right? I got the T-shirt and the video. I'm not going back there. I am so glad to be done with that. I've been redeemed from that. Amen. So this is the bunch of people he has with him. And they're not getting it. They're not getting it. So he finally puts them before a challenge. He says, now therefore, verse 14, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. Separate yourself. Now, verse 15. Now, this is, you can't get any simpler than this. He says, now therefore, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if it's that hard, Oh my God, Pastor, you want me to come to church how many times a week? You want me to pray? You want me to read my Bible? Don't you know what a job I have? The responsibilities that have been laid on me. Nobody knows. If it seems so hard to you, then give us a break. Make a choice. Go back to the world. But we need to be distinct and separate and holy. Hallelujah. I was in a church, brother. You talk about the Holy Spirit being grieved. This was in a church. There was supposed to be a Christian concert. And after about the second song, I knew this was not a Christian concert. There was nothing Christian about it. And I lasted about two songs, and I just discreetly moved out of there. And then in the parking lot of the church, there's two guys making out.
Oh my God.
In the parking lot. Then I find out they were part of the Christian band that had played before. And so I couldn't leave it alone. I had to find out where these kids were coming from. So I went, and you know, they were acting like real, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong.
Wow.
You know, yeah, one of them actually led worship in a church in another city. I said, what? He said, oh yeah, I'm a worship leader. Mm-hmm. Wow. I hate to see that church.
Yeah.
Wow. But see, Joshua said something. He said, if it's too hard for you, if this is difficult for you, then you need to give us a break and just go serve. At least be sincere and honest about it.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're going to do it, just don't rip the bumper sticker off the car, leave the Bible on the shelf, but don't pretend. Okay? But Joshua then said, I don't know about you guys, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've been at this pastor's house. It's like being in church. You have no idea how much I've been talking about this every place I go. There is such a peace. The kingdom of God is in your house. It's not here behind the pulpit. It's all the time. That's the way it should be. I really salute you. I mean, your family serves the Lord. It's not just mom and dad. And I don't know how did you beat them up or how, but oh, yeah, that's usually the way it works. Same in my family. But me and my house, we got it straight. We will serve the Lord. What about you? That means we don't just make the decision, but we also do a checklist, do an inventory and see what areas of my life. Is it in my finances? Is it, you know, in the relationships that I entertain? You know, where am I going? Where's my foot in the world? I need to withdraw it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And you know, be smack in the middle of the will of God and serve God. Amen? Amen? I believe that's what God wants us to do this morning. And I don't want to be like, you know, let's all get up and we all going to say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Because then it would be meaningless. But I want it to be from the heart.
Yes, sure.
Then God will see you. God will honor it. And God will give you the grace to actually do it. Amen?
Yeah.
And you will see a difference. See, God doesn't just say, I want it to be a difference. there is a manifestation of that difference that occurs in the areas of finances, in the areas of favor. See, some people are so politically correct, they only seek the favor of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
But see, when you have God's favor, amen. Let me tell you, you got yourself some favor. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the liberty that is in this house. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want us to be separate. Thank you that you separate yourself from your kingdom in heaven, from your glory in heaven, and came to this earth so that we could be a holy nation, so we could be a holy priesthood, so that we could be new creations. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for the price that you paid. Oh, and what a price. Now, Lord God, this morning, give us a revelation by your Holy Spirit of what you have done to make this possible. And Lord Jesus, give us the strength, Lord Jesus, to stand in this world, to obey you. Submit to God. Submit to God, says the Lord. Submit to me. Resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. Do not just resist the devil. Did you hear me? Submit to me, says the Lord. Seek me. Spend time with me. And then you will have the strength, the determination, the grace to resist the devil in that area that you've been battling. And you will see him flee far from you. He will leave a dust of trail as he takes his hands off of your life. For I have called you by my name. I am with you. I want to be closer to you. Even as you go through the fire, I say to you, if you stand in my presence, if you submit to me, you will not be burnt. This situation will not have any effect on you. It will not, there will not be any trace of what the devil has tried to do to you. I am your God. I am the one who has chosen you. And I have called you. And even if you go through the water, they will not overflow you. For you are mine, says the Lord. I love you. I care for you. I cherish you. I put my arms around you this morning. Let me embrace you. Do not fight on your own. This battle is not even yours. I will fight it for you. And I will bring you through victoriously. And you will come out like those three Israelite children. And it will not be even the smell of smoke, and nothing will be burned. Except that you will have more liberty, more anointing, more authority than you ever had before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, if you want to make this declaration, now may it not just be repeating the words of Joshua, but if it's like your declaration, it's something that you decide to do with all the sincerity of your heart before God. If you want to stand with me and say with me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then I invite you to stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, there was 120 people in one room one day. And all they were doing, they didn't know what was going to happen. They had no idea. There was no pre-warning of this. All they were told is you get in this room and you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And I really sense that this is such a time where the Holy Spirit wants to pour out blessing and anointing on this body of believers. You know, those people were never the same again. And it wasn't about the flames of fire. It wasn't about that. It was that they were changed. They were all together in one accord, looking in the same direction and having the same purpose of heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this body, Lord Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Empower them. Anoint them, Lord God. May they be separate. And Lord Jesus, may they show this part of the world what real Christians are about. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God.